A patient insists that they express curiosity about an issue, but upon closely reviewing the conversation, it quickly becomes evident that their intention was not solely to understand their partner's reality, no, but it was to convince them of their love, of their innocence, of their own reality. In dealing with individuals who exhibit narcissistic traits, these explanations can feel to this person, to your partner, like an attempt to assert dominance over reality, to invalidate their perspective and impose your own version of the events. Welcome to the Narcissism Dakota. I'm your host, Dr. Anthony Mazzella. The message social media feeds you is clear. The narcissist in your life manipulates, gaslights, accuses, and projects their issues onto you. The typical advice is to create boundaries, walk away, or even leave them behind entirely. But, you may be asking, what if you love this person? Or what if you're beholden to them for financial or other reasons that won't allow you to exit the relationship so easily? What if you want to try to work on this relationship because you feel perhaps there's something more you could do? Today, I want to talk about how I empower individuals like you to relate to the narcissist in your life without sacrificing your own well-being. Let's delve right into a common scenario. When you're dealing with a loved one who constantly accuses you of cheating, lying, being disloyal, manipulating them, actually, you could fill in the blank here, but depending on your situation, it could feel like you're walking on eggshells or you're in a minefield of distrust. Perhaps the extent of their suspicion knows no bounds, from baseless accusations to invasive measures like installing cameras or tracking your every move. In these situations, it's crucial to maintain your own sense of reality while at the same time taking these accusations seriously. That's right. I said take the accusation seriously. Let me explain what I mean by that. If you want to relate and keep someone like this in your life, beyond simple setting boundaries or dismissing their behavior, you need to understand the deeper dynamics at play and experiment with constructive ways to relate to this person. Here's the critical question. When someone forcefully intrudes delusions and misperceptions into your mind, how do you remain neutral? How do you take these accusations seriously? And what does that look like? To survive these bits of psychic shrapnel, it's helpful to be mindful that this person is gripped by destructive fantasies, which often are treated as concrete facts. It's just the truth, in other words, that you are lying or cheating. Again, you could fill in the blank here. You know, again, based on social media content, that the narcissist, quote unquote, projects. So let's start with that. What in this example is being projected? When someone is falsely accusing you and cannot hear anything you have to say, it's typically safe to assume that they have split off and projected despised or unbearable feelings. Here's a question for you. Can you interest them first in just recognizing that they're attacking you? That's where we start. Later, maybe, we'll try to interest them in exploring and examining the reasons why they are suddenly attacking and accusing you. But that's later. Right now, I think you could see, at this moment, labeling their behavior, telling them that they're crazy, or trying to interpret why, quote unquote, why something is happening. For instance, you know, I know your mother cheated on your father when you were 5 years old, and you're convinced I'm going to do the same thing to you. Now, this may be factually true, but it's not advisable that you say something like that, unless, of course, you want to inflame the situation. If you have already tried reassuring them of your love and commitment to them, and that does not work, it's time to consider trying something new. What I have found helpful when working with couples in this situation is move towards quote-unquote what is going on in the interaction. In other words, what just happened now that they suddenly became preoccupied with blaming and accusing you of something? Here's a pro-level tip. More often than not, when you look at the what's happening, either one, they were just having a nice time with you. Perhaps you were away with them for the weekend, or you were on a date night, and for whatever reason, that was no longer tolerable to them. Or two, there's an upcoming separation. Someone is leaving after a pleasant time together, or the nice weekend is coming to an end. So what I'm suggesting here with this pro-level tip is be mindful of what is going on, what precedes what seems to be a random attack, if that makes sense. Okay, so now perhaps you're thinking about the quote-unquote what is that it's not going to work. Or maybe you're saying, look, I do that, and I've tried that already. And then they'll just double down. I get that. And I know that they simply repeat the same accusations over and over. And in that case, in my field, the field of psychoanalysis, we would say that they turned against understanding and recapitulated a fruitless old rivalry. Here's another pro-level tip. That's exactly where you want to be. That's exactly where you need to stay. If they double down and go back to an old conflict, stay close to that experience with them and remain curious. One may say, I'm just making this up, bear with me, sweetie, we've been over this already. Last week you accused me of sleeping with our neighbor, and now you have me sleeping with, I don't know, again, fill in the blank, the butcher. It's the same issue. It's just moving around. Can you see that? Do you see how it's moving around? For some reason, you need to insist, or you need to convince yourself that I'm a cheater, or that I'm leaving you for someone else, or that I'm lying, or that I don't really love you, or that my love isn't genuine. See, the goal here, and again, these may not be the best questions or the best comments for your particular situation, but what I'm trying to convey is the goal here is just to describe what's happening. In my practice, I've encountered this scenario numerous times. A patient insists that they express curiosity about an issue, but upon closely reviewing the conversation, it quickly becomes evident that their intention was not solely to understand their partner's reality, no, but it was to convince them of their love, of their innocence, of their own reality. In dealing with individuals who exhibit narcissistic traits, these explanations can feel to this person, to your partner, like an attempt to assert dominance over reality, to invalidate their perspective and impose your own version of the events. I hope that makes sense. I'll try to flesh it out a little bit more. When you're being blamed, it is at these moments that it becomes critically important not to engage in explanations or to proclaim your innocence. Remember, you've tried this already, perhaps dozens of times, and you know the result. It doesn't work. That's why I'm suggesting to be open and to think about another way of approaching this. Because you know to some extent that when you start to explain or proclaim your love or your innocence, this entangles you further into the conflict. And it diverts attention from what I would call the real issue at hand. The real issue, quote unquote, real issue, isn't your actions or supposed wrongdoing. It's about the sudden transformation of what should be a pleasant evening or a weekend together into yet another fraught and contentious situation. That is the quote-unquote what. not why, but this is what's happening right here in this moment. And that's what I'm suggesting, or at least that's what I'm sharing with you that I find to be most helpful, is you stay right there on the surface in the what. More importantly, when you think you're just explaining, when I closely examine a couple's verbal communications, we often observe deteriorated forms of expression that can be quite alarming, such as comparing someone to a beast when they get angry, labeling your partner as obsessive, or disparaging family members with derogatory terms like quote-unquote drunk idiot, or accusing them, you're a stalker. See, these instances capture the complex dynamics at play and serve, at least in my mind, as clear examples of individuals no longer attempting to engage in genuine communication. Okay, to return to my original point, in these situations, it's crucial to maintain your own sense of reality while at the same time taking these accusations seriously. So I hope this is becoming a little bit more clear in terms of what I mean by this. Genuine movement in these relational dynamics often requires embracing loss. See, if you're going to take the accusation seriously, you have to be able to experience a loss. What does this mean? What is it I'm talking about here? What's the loss? The loss is a realization that while you share a relationship with your partner, they also have their own individual experiences and emotions that may not always mirror your experience, emotions, and beliefs. Consider this scenario. He firmly believes that you appear cold and distant when he tries to connect with you intimately, while you firmly believe that you project warmth and emotional availability. The idea of being perceived as cold and distant seems absurd to you, while the notion of being seen as warm and available seems equally absurd to him. That's right. Even though you think that you are warm and available, and then you want to convince him that you are available or show him how he's wrong, and then give him examples, what you're saying to him at that moment is, my reality of this situation trumps your reality, if that makes sense. In other words, each of you then become entrenched in your own reality, unable to fully grasp the perspective of the other. Just as you feel invaded by his seemingly ludicrous perception of you, it's really important to recognize that he, too, feels invaded by your ludicrous perception. I know this must sound strange to you, but the more you try to convince him of your emotional availability with these examples, the further you drive a wedge in the communication. In other words, it's an illustration of two people who are not listening to one another. It's like both of you have your heels that are dug in. This ability to differentiate oneself, in other words, one's beliefs, thoughts, and feelings from others, is precisely what those with narcissistic personality traits struggle with. It plunges them into profound states of confusion, and then that becomes the work. You see, if there's confusion, now we could work on what's going on here. Why such a discrepancy in these two realities? And then what do you do? How do you work something out like this when there's such a discrepancy? Now, one mistake is to try to convince. I think you're getting this sense as you're listening to this. The mistake is try to convince the other person of your reality. But anyway, when there's a confused state of mind, that's where we can have hope. That's where we have hope, because that's where the work begins. Because when there's confusion, then we can elicit curiosity. And remember, that's where I started today. Remember, I said, engage their curiosity. And you would be surprised, by the way, to discover that once you attend to your partner's emotional needs, they are more open to attend to yours. And by the way, when I say attend to, like quote unquote, attend to their emotional needs, all I simply mean is listen to them, take them seriously, And don't tell him or her that they're quote unquote crazy, or don't revert to labeling them or name calling. You want them to leave with an experience that you appreciate their reality. It does not mean you agree with it. You're not agreeing with it, but you're not trying to take it away or trump it with your reality or devalue it in any way because you think it's crazy, even though it may be crazy. And this is not indulging them because, again, you're not agreeing with it. You're just not negating it or fighting them over their reality. Anyway, I have so many other examples of how each partner struggles in their own way to understand and appreciate the other's perspective, but we have to begin to wrap it up here for today. As always, please feel free to reach out to me with any questions or comments or thoughts about anything related to these really challenging narcissistic relationships. I would be delighted to hear from you. If you're interested in learning more about the various facets of narcissism, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. And also, please don't forget to check out my YouTube channel. There I have additional content on insights and all issues related to narcissism. All right. Until next time, as always, engage your mind. Bye for now. Disclaimer alert. The Narcissism Dakota podcast is provided for general information purposes only. The content presented in this podcast is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any psychological condition related to narcissism. The content on this podcast should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. For specific advice pertaining to narcissism or any other psychological condition, you could reach me directly. I am an experienced mental health practitioner who is always taking on new patients. If you would just like a consultation, I can do that too.